Chapter 16. Orfeo's Lament. The Storm Beyond the Glass. Chaos. The vessel chosen was Orfeo's Lament, a sleek, vicious light cruiser captained most ably by the famously tenacious Janus Sylamore. When the Primarch's decree had reached the 1301st, Sylamore had volunteered the Lament before Lorgar's vox-distorted voice had even finished the traditional blessings that ended his fleet-wide addresses. Her first officer took a dimmer view of her eagerness, pointing out that this was the largest, most devastating warp storm ever recorded in the history of the species. Here was an anomaly with all the force of the legendary storms that severed humanity's worlds from one another in the centuries before the Great Crusade. Sylamore had clicked her tongue, a habit of hers that always showed her impatience, and told him to shut up. The smile she gave him would only be considered sweet by the people that didn't know her very well. The departure window was set for sunrise over the wastelands, which left practically no time for preparation beyond the core necessities. Grey gunships graced the Lament's modest landing bay, delivering squad after squad of dark-armoured Astartes. Storage chambers were cleared to house the word-bearers, their ammunition crates, their maintenance servitors, as well as the contingent from the Legio Cybernetica that accompanied 7th Company, led by an irritable tech adept calling himself Xenu 73. Introductions were brief. 5 Astartes marched onto the bridge, and Sylamore rose from her throne to greet them. Each spoke their name and rank, one captain, one chaplain, 3 sergeants, and each saluted her in turn. She responded accordingly, introducing her own command crew. It was polite but cold, and over in a matter of minutes. Only when the Astartes remained on the bridge did Sylamore sense a breach in decorum. Unperturbed, the captain continued her final checks, pointing her silver-topped cane to each console station in turn.
"Propulsion?"
"Engines," replied the first officer.
"Aye."
"Auspex?"
"Aye, madam."
"Void shields?"
"Shields ready."
"Weapons?"
"Weapons, aye."
"Gellerfield?"
"Gellerfield, aye."
"Helm?"
"Helm standing ready, ma'am."
"All stations report full readiness,"
she said to the word-bearer's captain. This was something of a lie, and Sylamore hoped her tone didn't betray it. All stations had reported readiness, true, but the last hour had also seen reports of insurrection in the lower decks, put down by lethal force, and one suicide. The ship's astropath had requested to be assigned to another vessel.
"Request denied," Sylamore had frowned. "Who in the Emperor's name does he think he is to even ask such a thing?"
And the navigator was engaged in what he referred to as intensive mental barricading so as to preserve one's fundamental quintessence, which Sylamore was fairly sure she didn't even want to understand. So instead of relaying all of this to the towering warlord standing next to her throne, she simply gave him a curt nod and said,
"All stations report readiness."
The Astartes turned his helm's slanted blue eyes upon her and nodded.
"There will be one last vessel docking soon. Ensure all of your crew are removed from the bay once it arrives."
Her raised eyebrow conveyed just what she thought of this unorthodox demand, and in case it didn't, she added her own spice to it.
"Very well. Now tell me why."
"No," said one of the other Astartes. He'd named himself as Malnor, a sergeant. "Just obey the order."
The captain, Argal Tal, gestured for his brother to remain silent.
"The last gunship will be bringing a creature on board. The fewer of your crew that are exposed to it, the better it'll be for all of us."
The first officer pointedly cleared his throat. Crew members turned in their seats. Sylamore blinked twice.
"I will suffer no Xenos presence on board the Lament," she stated.
"I did not say it was an alien," said Argal Tal. "I said it was a creature. My warriors will escort it to the bridge. Do not look at it once we are underway. Focus on your duties, all of you. I have my men in the starboard docking bay and will inform you when the gunship reaches us."
"Incoming hail from De Profundis,"
called an officer from the Vox console. The word-bearers went to their knees, head lowered.
"Accept the hail,"
Sylamore said. Without realizing, she lifted a hand to check her hair was in neat order and straightened her uniform. Around her, officers did the same, brushing epaulettes and standing straighter.
The Oculus tuned into a view of De Profundis's command deck, where the Primarch and Fleetmaster Torvus stood in pride of place.
"This is the flagship," Torvus said. "Good hunting, Lament."
"Thank you, sir," Silamore replied.
An awkward silence reached between both bridge crews, broken by Argal Tal.
"Sire?"
"Yes, my son." Lorgar's smile was sincere, though Vok's crackle ruined his smooth voice.
"We will return with the answers the Legion needs. You have my word,"
he gestured to the parchment bound to his shoulder guard,
"and my oath of moment."
The smile remained upon the Primarch's painted lips.
"I know, Argal Tal.
Please rise. I cannot abide you kneeling before me in this moment of moments."
The word-bearers rose as ordered, and Argal Tal nodded to Captain Silamore.
"The last vessel has docked, and my warriors are leading the creature to the bridge. Take us in, Captain."
The ship trembled as its engines came alive, and Orfeo's Lament speared away from the planet, cutting through the void towards the storm's distant edges.
3 hours until we reach the storm's outermost border,"
one of the helmsmen called. Argal Tal held his bolter in his fists, waiting for the bridge doors to open once more.
"When the creature arrives, do not look at it."
He seemed to be addressing everyone while looking at none of them.
"This is not a matter of decorum or politeness. Do not look at it. Do not meet its eyes. Try not to breathe too much of its scent."
"Is this creature toxic?" asked Silamore.
"It is dangerous," the word bearer allowed. "When I say these instructions are for your safety and sanity, I mean those exact words. Do not look at it. Do not even look at its reflection in any screen or monitor. If it speaks, focus on anything but its words. And if you feel nauseous or afflicted in its presence, leave your station at once."
Silamore's laugh was patently false.
"You are unnerving my crew, Captain."
"Just do as I ask, please."
She bristled, not used to being given orders on her own deck.
"Of course, sir."
"Don't act so offended, Janus."
The word-bearer forced some warmth into his voice, which his helm's vox speakers immediately stole and twisted.
"Just trust me."
When the doors finally opened, the first thing to wash over the bridge was the smell, which caused several of the human crew to gag. Commendably, only one turned around to see what entered, escorted as it was by a full squad of word-bearers, and that one soul was Captain Janus Silamore. In accidental defiance of the promise she'd made only minutes before, she turned to the opening doors and saw the creature framed in the light of the illumination globes in the corridor behind. The first heave of bitter sick hit her teeth and lips so fast she didn't have time to open her mouth. The rest spread onto the floor as she went down on all fours, purging her stomach of the morning's caffeine and dry rations, and painting the decking with her bile.
"I warned you," Argal Tal said to her, without taking his eyes from the creature.
Her answer was to heave some more, ending with a string of saliva hanging from her lips. Ingerfell wormed its way onto the bridge, leaving a discoloured smear in its wake. The tap-tap-tap of the staff's base on the metal floor acted as accompaniment to the sound of its slick flesh slithering across the deck. Officers abandoned their posts by the captain's throne, stepping away with undisguised disgust and covering their mouths and noses. More than one vomited into their hands as Ingerfell drew nearer, though for the creature's part it seemed to notice none of this. Its malformed eyes stared dead ahead at the storm taking over the Oculus. Silamore rose to her feet again after taking Argal Tal's offered hand.
"What have you brought onto my bridge, Captain?"
"It is a guide. Now, with the greatest respect, Janus, wipe your mouth and do your duty. Next time, perhaps you'll listen to me."
She was familiar enough with Argal Tal from Fleet Command meetings to know that this curt treatment wasn't like him at all. Of all the word-bearer commanders, he'd always been the most approachable and the most inclined to hear the concerns of the human officers. She said nothing. Instead, she nodded, breathing through her mouth to hinder some of the obscene reek that only fueled her nausea. The foulness of the stench wasn't the worst part. It was the familiarity of it. As a young girl on Colchis, she'd survived an outbreak of rotten lung in her village, and had been one of the few left to witness the arrival of a coven of mortuary priests from the City of Grey Flowers. Over the course of a single day, they erected a great pyre to cleanse the dead before scattering their ashes across the desert. The smell of that funeral pyre had never left her, and when it resurfaced now, it was all she could do not to choke at the creature's stench. A curious drip, drip, drip etched her attention, drawing her glance to the deck by the creature's sluggish body. A greasy, opaque plasm dripped from the muscled folds of its serpentine lower half, bleaching the steel decking where it fell.
"Full speed ahead," said Silamore, and swallowed before another purge took hold.
Orfeo's lament trembled, ever the eager huntress, ever the keen explorer, and increased her pace. The storm swelled in the oculus before them as they cruised closer to its edge.
"Have the flagship's augurs managed to measure the afflicted area of space?" she asked.
"Thousands upon thousands of solar systems lie within the great eye."
She froze, cheeks paling.
I heard a voice."
"Ignore it," ordered Argyltal.
"You could sail your mortal craft for 100 lifetimes within its depths and see no more than a shadow of its full glory."
"I can still hear it."
Argyltal growled, deep and low, his head tilted towards the creature.
"Do not toy with their lives," he said. "You have been warned."
"None of them will survive this journey. You are a fool to believe they will."
Did it just say...
"It said nothing," Argyltal interrupted her stammer. "Ignore the voice. Focus, Janus. Attend to your duties and leave all else to us. I will not let the creature harm you or anyone in the crew."
"She does not believe you."
"Be quiet, false angel."
"She knows you lie. You hear her heart beat as I do. She is terrified, and she knows you are lying to her."
Across the bridge, two menials vomited over their consoles. Another fainted at his station, with blood running from his ears in a slow trickle.
"Will this keep happening?"
Silamore asked Argyltal, careful not to look at the creature over the warrior's shoulder and hoping her voice wasn't shaking. The word-bearer didn't answer immediately.
"I believe so," came the eventual response.
One of the helmsmen jerked in his seat, cracking his head against the back of the throne. Through clenched teeth, he managed a thin wail before falling into a seizure, kept in place only by his restraint harness.
"Medicate team to the helm," ordered the captain.
Silamore's patience was close to its end when one of her adjutant servitors unplugged itself from its post and began to painstakingly crawl across the floor. The servitor in question had no legs below the thighs, having had them surgically removed in order to better remain at its post at all times. When it detached itself from its bronze cradle and started clawing its way over the decking, Captain Silamore watched this unprecedented behaviour for several stunned moments. The augmetic servant trailed wires and cables from its spine and severed legs, viscous oil leaking from its nose.
"Blood of the Emperor!" Silamore cursed under her breath. "Stand back, everyone! Stand back!"
She put the servitor down herself with a single pistol round the back of the poor thing's head and ordered two deckhands to remove it at once. Vox officer Arvas turned to his captain as she passed on the way back to her throne.
"Do you hear that?" he asked her.
"A contact? Another vessel?"
"No."
He held his earpiece, face darkened by concentration.
"I can hear him, Captain."
Mounting irritation overrode her unease.
"Hear who?"
Janus had known Arvas for over a decade, and on one night in particular, 4 years ago, she'd known him and four bottles of silver Indonesian wine regrettably well. Despite that lone indiscretion, he was one of her most adept and loyal crew members.
"Tell me who you hear, Lieutenant."
He tried to retune his console, twisting a row of dials.
"I can hear Vanek dying. He screams, but not for long. The rest is white noise. Listen."
He offered her his earpiece.
"You can hear Vanek dying. You hear him scream, but not for long."
She hesitantly reached to take the earpiece. Standing next to Arvas, Vox officer Vanek gave her an attempt at a smile. Discomfort was written across his fat features. Arvas unholstered his sidearm and pumped four rounds into the other man's stomach. Blood, stinging and hot, flecked Silamore's face as Vanek collapsed, screaming to the deck.
"Now you hear it," said Arvas.
The captain had no time to react. A blur of dark grey shoved her aside. Before she'd even blinked, Arvas was kicking and dangling above the ground, held aloft by Argyltal's fist around his throat.
The ship shivered around them as it shared the crew's disquiet. As he was strangled in the warrior's grip, Arvas's fingers scraped across Argaltal's faceplate with all the ferocity of a cornered beast hoping to scratch out its killer's eyes. Sweat smears painted across the eye lenses. The Medicaid team reached Vanek's side in time for him to die at their feet. Arvas had been right. Vanek hadn't screamed for long. The word-bearer ignored the fingers scrabbling over the implacable Ceramite and turned to address his warriors.
Dagatal, take this wretch to the containment cells.
He passed Arvas towards the other word-bearers, sending him sprawling with a shove. Another of the Astartes stepped forward, catching the struggling officer by the collar and lifting him from the ground. Arvas took over where Vanek's screams left off.
And render him silent, Argeltal added.
By your word, brother.
Dagatal gripped the officer's neck, squeezing his windpipe with gentle force. The human's voice faded to a gasping squeak as the word-bearer hauled him from the bridge. Captain Silamore glared up at the towering figure of Argeltal.
That creature cannot remain on my bridge. It is doing something to us, isn't it?
I do not know.
Then ask it.
We will take it to the observation deck, Captain. Ensure your crew vacate the area, as well as the corridors between. Make full speed for the storm's edge. I will contact you with any alterations to those orders if need arises.
Thank you, she said to him.
Argaltal returned a curt nod and moved back to his brethren.
You should have killed the murderer, Zaphon admonished. He will stand trial for his sin. It could be argued that his actions were not his own.
Argaltal turned to watch Ingathil as the creature began its slithering withdrawal from the command deck. They followed, avoiding the slick trail it left in its wake.
We are walking into the unknown, and there is nothing but darkness before my eyes, Argaltal said to his chaplain. And that worries you? Of course it worries me. If we are on the precipice of enlightenment, why have I never felt so blind? Everything is darkest, Zaphon mused, before the dawn. That, my brother, is an axiom that sounds immensely profound until you realize it's a lie.
The observation decks on most Imperial ships were places of great serenity. Although Orfeo's Lament was a modest vessel compared to De Profundis, let alone the grandeur of the Fidelitas Lex, Argeltal still felt his breath catch as he entered. Midway along the cruiser's battlemented spine rose an armored dome, its clear surface offering an unparalleled view of the surrounding void. In normal space, the view of a billion stars in the infinite night never failed to capture his imagination, and he'd admit in his prouder moments his ambition as well. These were humanity's stars. No other species had the right to claim them, for their ages had come and gone. The future was one of purity, and it belonged to mankind. Here now the stars were stained violet. Argeltal watched distant suns drown in curling, thrashing mists of purple and red.
Do you see?
Ingathel had reared up to its full, unnatural height, four stick-thin arms spread in benediction to the burning heavens. From jaws that couldn't close, it spat out a rattlesnake's hiss.
Do you see?
Argeltal tore his gaze from the night sky. The observation deck was spacious, fitted with Spartan furniture that none of the word-bearers were using. Each remained standing, bolters clutched in their hands.
I see a storm, said the captain. Nothing more.
You and I both, sir.
This from Dagatal. The outrider sergeant had arrived several minutes after the rest of them, coming straight from the containment block where he'd left Lieutenant Arvas in the less than tender care of the brig officers.
I feel something, though. The ship's shaking itself apart.
Always thought I'd die in battle, grumbled Malnor.
Argeltal shook his head.
You dragged us into this nexus of energies, Ingathel. It is time to tell us why. What are we supposed to be seeing?
The truth. The truth behind the stars. The hidden lair of the universe.
I see a storm that threatened to kill us all, comprised of a thousand colors.
No. You see target locks and biological data streams. You see the world before you, through filtering lenses. You stand on the border of heaven, word-bearer. Remove your helm. Look upon the home of the gods with your true eyes.
It took him a moment to comply, hesitating at the thought of the creature's smell assaulting his olfactory senses without first being purified by his helm's intake grill. He took a final breath of his armor's stale, recycled air and disengaged the collar seals. It was worse than he'd imagined, and the bridge crew were to be commended for the fact so few of them vomited. The chamber already reeked of a charnel house, that coppery spice of fouled blood, the stinging meat stink of digestive organs bared to the air.
"I still see nothing," Argeltal grunted. "I see the storm."
"You cannot lie to me as you lie to the humans. Stare into the clashing tides around us. Do you see what stares back?"
The captain stepped closer to the dome's edge, peering out into the roiling void where the playing energies mixed and swirled. The ship gave another tremor at the mercy of the forceful tides. There, just for a moment, as the ship shook,
you saw. Your heart quickened, your eyes dilated. You saw.
Argeltal stroked his hand along the dense glass wall, staring into the tumult beyond. How could one draw meaning from this madness? The ship shuddered in the etheric tides again, and once more the riotous energies coalesced for the briefest moment. A human face, spoiled by frightened eyes and a screaming mouth, formed from the burning matter outside the glass. It burst against the dome, dissipating back into the raging tides from whence it came.
"Do you know what this storm is?"
Argeltal wouldn't look away from the tides. "It's warp energy, the etheric current reaching through into the material universe. Imperial records have chronicled the presence of alien creatures in the warp itself, but they are catalogued among the lesser Xenos threats." Ingerfell's hiss echoed in his mind. How verminous the creature's laughter.
"Do you know what those words mean? Or do you relate lore poured into your mind by the indoctrinations that shaped you? What do you see when you stare into this storm?"
The word-bearer turned to Ingerfell. A face that would have been handsome had it not suffered the trials of Astartes surgery stared up at the creature.
"This is the galaxy's blood. Reality is bleeding.
Close."
The demon thing chittered with a rodent's delight.
"Humanity is precious in its ignorance, but that cannot be allowed to last if your species is to survive. The warp is more than a realm for mortal vessels to cut into with impunity and use its tides to sail faster than light. What you are seeing is creation's own shadow, where every mortal emotion and urge takes immortal form. You are sailing through seas made of psychic energy and liquefied sorrow. You are cast adrift in the heaven and hell of a million mythologies, Argeltal. This is where every moment of hatred, disgust, wrath, joy, grief, jealousy, indolence, and decadence manifest as raw energy. This is where the souls of the dead come to burn forever."
Orpheus' lament gave a horrendous shudder, and the sound of wrenching metal ran through the deck beneath them. Torgal and Zaphon went to their knees, the former with a gutter curse, the latter with an indignant grunt. In the storm beyond, more images took shape. Hands pressed against the glass, leaving discoloured smears. Faces warped by screams, aching in their familiarity. The shadow of something, something vast and dark and cold behind it all, sweeping past the ship like a whale passing in the deepest ocean. For a moment, Argeltal's breath misted in the air. Frost beaded his skin. The shadow passed, and kept passing, disturbing the crashing energies with its immense, half-formed bulk.
"A void leviathan. Fear would draw it closer, and this vessel would disintegrate in its jaws. But it passes, hunting other prey. In many of the futures I saw, it turned upon us, and your lives ended here. In three of those futures, Argeltal, you were laughing as you died, dissolving in the energies outside the ship.
He was not laughing now. This is hell. Argeltal no longer struggled to see the faces shrieking in at him, nor the hands clawing at the glass. He could see nothing else. This is the underworld of human imagination.
Do not be blinded by dogma. This is the primordial truth, creation's shadow, the lair behind the stars.
The word-bearer breathed a single word as he watched the sea of screaming souls beyond.
Chaos!
The demon's maw twisted into a grin.
Now you begin to understand.
Argeltal sipped the water. It was brackish on his tongue and distastefully warm. It was also the fifth such cup to sour in his hands like this, and he had the unsettling notion that it was his own body curdling the water.
We soon reach the first world, he said. Melisenth. The world had no human name, but in ancient days, the Eldar breed Xenos, they named it Melisenth.
Lorgar's flowing script recorded each word. The Eldar? What is their role in this?
Now, they have no role. They are the galaxy's memory, fading night by night. But once, this region of space was their most precious dominion, the heart of their empire. Their decadence brought us forth from our realm into this one. We watched their worlds burning in spectral fire, and we tore their souls apart in claws of spirit and flesh.
Argeltal!
Every sensation was new to us. We were newborns in the material realm. Blood fed us, pain fueled us. You cannot know what it is like to grow stronger when a creature suffers nearby, to swell with power when parents watch their children burn, to grow in size and intellect with each sin you inflict upon mortal flesh, to know more of the universe's secrets with each soul you swallow.
My son, please.
But I was there, Lorgar. I saw these things. I did these things.
You are Argeltal. You were born on Colchis in the village of Singruk, to a carpenter and a seamstress. Your name means the last angel in the dialect of the Southern Steppes tribes. You are the youngest warrior in the Legion ever to inherit the mantle of company captain. You once bore swords of red iron, the blades of your predecessor, which you lost in service to your Primarch. You are Argeltal, a bearer of the word.
You are my son.
The word-bearer looked down at his skeletal hands.
Sire, he said softly, forgive me.
Argeltal managed to meet his Primarch's eyes, infinitely grateful that he saw no judgment in those grey depths.
There is nothing to forgive. You knew more of my life than I realized.
Lorgar smiled. All of my sons are precious to me.
Argeltal rubbed at his sore eyes. Ingerfell told us that our changes would begin at the ordained time when the galaxy burns. But I am losing myself now. Is this the ordained moment already? Is the galaxy aflame? None of my memories are my own, father. There's a copper taste on my tongue, like the echo of blood. Perhaps this is fear. Perhaps this taste is the fear so many poets and archivists have written about.
The captain laughed, the sound hollow and humorless.
And now I speak my valid diction.
It need not be a valid diction, Argeltal.
That cannot be decided until the tale is told.